See, this is always the challenge is starting the show, because it's like, usually we start with something funny, and then it's like, do we have anything funny to say?
I mean, we could always go with something. I mean, you know, why does a chicken cross the road?
To ask what the season 6 calendar is going to look like?
No, because it hurt Elder was coming.
Okay. Listening to Just Here for the GLSR. My name is Sammy B. I'm the driver of the 22 and the, hold on, we talked about it in our latest meeting. I forgot what my new official title is. We're working on official titles for the admins so we actually can tell you all exactly what we do. I think mine was like head of public relations or league relations, something like that. We'll have the finer details hammered out in a bit. But, of course, I'm always joined by Chris Scala, the Captain TV man. Not Captain TV. It's
Captain Esports Network.
I am sorry I have disgraced you so. How are you doing this evening, though?
You have never disgraced me, sir. And I am doing absolutely wonderful. It's a Sunday evening. More broadcast down. I was actually starting to count like how many I've done. But so since like I got back last year,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to count that high. So
I actually watched one of your most recent broadcasts. It was F1 at
the
Spa. Man, uh-huh. I looked at that and I was like, man, that looks really cool. I kind of want to do that. And then I thought about the time. I'm like, when do I have time? I'm still trying to get good at turning left and I can't even figure that out. You know,
Not that I'm promoting that league or not, but anybody can run it. He's actually looking for people.
Maybe. I need a new wheel. My wheel does this thing where if it gets in a car, like, it rattles once it gets beyond a certain speed on roughness of track.
Called feedback.
Yeah, I'm getting a new one hopefully for Christmas. But no, I'm on a workout regimen for racing now. I've been like a Dean on a, has me on a regimen of like, you need to run this many officials a week and you need to do this many laps. So, you know, trying to not be so bad, which really was funny because I did so much prep for the Gateway race. And then Dean really spelled it out pretty clearly for me. He goes, look, you can do all the solo practice laps and get that track dialed in perfectly, but if you can't handle getting out of line and being able to make it work, it won't do you any good. And that's exactly what happened to me. So hoping to not be so bad going forward because this league is getting so good. But I saw that F1 broadcast and it looked really cool. So especially with the that one had track cams for Gourmet on it, right?
It did.
It looked real good.
It does. Majority of the tracks do. I mean, the Red Bull one I did last week didn't. I don't know what track they're doing this week because he doesn't tell me. I just have to guess. But I'm pretty sure I have the camera for it.
It was real cool. So, I mean, beyond that, are we wanting to, talk about some Gateway?
We can. I'm actually running laps around the road course in an IndyCar right now.
Oh, doing a little driving and chatting now. I really wish we had a video aspect of this show now because I think it'd be kind of cool to have that. I like it. You're multitasking, though. I like that.
I always like experiment.
I'm watching the replay of the Gateway broadcast, so that's what I'm doing. But, you know, I had a lot of trepidation about how this race was going to go. And I had some people telling me, like, oh, this race is going to be a crapshoot, and who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be a wreck fest. Da, 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 da. And normally, you know, when I do my pre-race pep talk, motivational speech, whatever you want to call it, I usually kind of am like, hey, let's have fun. And I very much said onto the mic, like, guys, please don't mess this up. I think it actually worked, because it felt like, you know, like, I think the first caution was Dalton got a little out of sorts, which was a surprise, I will say that. I think my plea was heard of, let's race tough but fair. I mean, the first person who actually fell prey to a DNF, I'm pretty sure, was me, which sucked, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, I think the drivers accepted the challenge a couple weeks ago that I threw out to them. You know, not that it was only me, but, you know, obviously they saw what they went through at the Lucas Oil race, and then Michigan turned into a fantastic race. And, you know, Gateway, I think, you know, did what it was supposed to do. It was fantastic, had some strategy come into play. Yeah, you mentioned Dalton. He got together with Cody Beatty there on the back straightaway. Cody took the blame for it. It's very easy to do, and you know what? I've actually done this too before. For some reason, there is a habit that you can do on this track where you come off turn two and you kind of want to drive the car, or truck in this case, towards the middle of the track. And because of that, you're very easily to go down into another truck or whatever, and you don't even realize it. And not saying that's what happened here, but it kind of has that look to it. It's actually one of the rare races that I remember running in another league where I actually had a drive-through penalty because I caused two cautions in one race. Don't happen. It's the only time I've ever done it. Needless to say, I mean, a fantastic race. You know, I think somebody obviously paid attention last week to the podcast when you could say I called him out, but it was more of me explaining what I've seen and doing what is my job as the broadcaster here for the last five seasons is explain what I see. And what I've seen for the last 10 races, if not more, has been a driver that has been driving over his head out of desperation, being very aggressive and making bad decisions. Last Wednesday night, Zach Allman starts the race, kind of rides for a second, lets the tires come to him, goes out there, takes the lead, and blows the field away. Now, it wasn't easy at the end. He had to, you know, work back to get it, but he was by far the fastest truck in that race. And he and Caden Atkins had two great trucks. You know, of course, there was some drama in the race that happened, but you know, I think that there could have been some other trucks that would have gotten up in there and battled with Zach. There was some tire strategy that came into play and stuff like that, but Zach ran his best race easily of the season and got himself a big start in a run for a championship.
Yeah, he definitely took the, I feel like, you know, the Michael Jordan thing from Last Dance where he's like, and I took that personally. I feel like that was
Scotty Pippen, but who's counting?
And I feel like he definitely took that to heart and really showed up. I mean, like you said, like, tire strategy definitely threw this race into some limbo, but like, I think there were a few people who could have challenged Zach. I will say, I think Christopher Dean, if he, and I can say this because he's my teammate and I get to race with him every week, he, and I try to remind him, because sometimes we'll be going and he'll be kind of like commenting on how things are going on around him, and I'm like, it's okay, like, stay focused, we don't want to like miss anything or mess anything. And I feel like Dean could have been I feel like Dean could have won like four races this year so far if his head was not I'm not gonna say if his head wasn't on straight, because I will admit I realized something. I don't know if I'm to blame for this. This was the throwback race. And so I'm overjoyed at how many people got into the, I love when people get into the spirit of a race. Like, I know, and we've talked about this with the admins, this schedule pushed the boundaries in some different ways from your average stock car fan. Don't worry, we're going to talk about what we're doing for season six and how we're balancing that out, pulling it back a little bit. I pushed some boundaries with how crazy the schedule was. But like people got into the Japan theme. And so one thing I said was, hey, I want to do more throwbacks to GLSR history, because we're this was a year ago we did this race. We're finally building some history, some lore. And so I was like, I got a bunch of guys to run Black Horizon paints. I think there were four out there or three out there. The issue was I have my pit board design and I never changed it for the cars. So I changed the number, but they all were the exact same pink stripes horizontally with black stripes and the number. And I don't know if that threw Dean off, the fact that he saw multiple of those on the pit lane, and that's why he missed his pit box. Because after that, he was out of the race. Like, he drove the hell out of his truck, but it didn't, I don't say it didn't matter, but after he, you know, lost that ability to stay on that strategy, you know, didn't get fuel or tires, he was digging out of a hole the whole rest of the race. So maybe if he doesn't miss that pit box, he's fighting against that, because he looked really fast as hell out there. I think Sean Peachin made an interesting strategy call early on, taking tires. I mean, he screamed away, but, you know, he fell back as, you know, and later in the stages. It just didn't fall his way. So I feel like, you know, as much as it was fun that, you know, I'm watching it right now, lap 25, who's your 1, 2, 3? Dean, Amon, and Peachin. So, you know, if you don't have that weird multi-strategy thing going on, maybe it's a more exciting finish, but I will admit it was more of an exciting race knowing that you had three very fast drivers. I'm not dismissing Caden or anyone else. Four, all on pretty different strategies, needing the race to go pretty different ways. So that was fun.
Oh, it was. And that's where that tire strategy comes into play again, because you had three sets of tires in the pits each and every week. And once again, you saw tires come into play. As you mentioned, the guys that were able to rise to the top were the ones that, for lack of a better way of putting it, they actually saved their tires a little bit and were able to get out there and do well. I mean, one example I use, was it Genikin, I believe it was. I got to go back and remember the race. Who, and you're about at that point, when the first caution comes out, somebody comes down pit road and takes tires on that first stop. And I'm like, and I think I mentioned it in the broadcast, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know, this is kind of early, because you're going to need that set later in the race. Lo and behold, that person needs that set of tires at the end of the race, and he didn't happen to use. And it kind of hurt him in the end. But, you know, needless to say, I mean, to see Dean up there and Zach up there, obviously Caden ran well throughout the night. I mean, Clark ran well. There were, you know, the usual suspects were up there running well throughout the evening. And, you know, the battle was on, and I think the battle is on. And, you know, we've got some drivers that have proved us both wrong already to start with, and then have three more attempts to keep proving us wrong. And we got some drivers that are making us look pretty darn good right now.
So, I mean, yeah, I definitely think this race was, I feel like Gateway is a nice size, because, I mean, I still am leery of shorter track style racing, just because I know it requires a lot of skill, and I know this isn't a true quote-unquote short track, but I felt like it blended everything really well, and I hope we return here soon. I hope it's way, I feel like it's criminal that we've only been to this track two times in GLSR history, because that was amazing racing, and I can even say that with how frustrated I personally was, that I would absolutely do that track again, despite how everything went wrong. Well, I'm not gonna say everything went wrong. I just didn't have a good race, and that's just me personally. And was I mad as all get out after that race? Yeah, but there's a lot of layers to that. I was apoplectic after that race, but that was simply due to the
whoa, Florida vocabulary over here, young man.
Me mad, not happy, kick things.
Thank you. Better.
But that's racing, you know. Out of curiosity, I will throw this one out. What was your favorite throwback that you saw on the broadcast?
Oh my gosh, you asked me that. I gotta go back and remember them. It's been a long week.
Well, you see a lot of races. I'm watching it right now, so I mean, like,
yours was pretty cool with that Miami Vice pizza, or no, barbecue, right? Flamingo.
It was Franklin Barbecue of Austin,
Franklin,
Texas.
Sorry, I couldn't remember.
I made that for Christine, and it was just one of my favorite paints that I've ever made for him. And then after that season, he went to Black Horizon, so then it just didn't get used. So I wanted to use it.
I mean, that was a cool one. Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me think. Oh, I mean, Beatty running Sean's paint scheme from last season, I think was kind of funny. Noah running his winning paint scheme from Homestead, that was cool.
That was really cool.
I'm gonna miss them, and I'm sorry in advance to those I miss.
I mean, I
oh my god,
I could look at the list.
Yeah, all the Black Horizon ones were good, and I'm too lazy to lead up to my computer right now. I'm just kind of sitting back and chilling while I talk. Let's see.
I'm trying to remember exactly who it's based off of, but Sean Peachins was really great too. But it was based off a real NASCAR historic paint. I just want to remember exactly which one it was. I want to say it was Elliott Sadler or something.
Let me go look at the paint schemes right now on Discord. This is what we call stalling, for those who don't know.
I'll tell you what the most off the wall one was, though, and I'm impressed that he even found it. Is I had said, hey, anyone who wants a paint scheme, let me know. I will do it for free. Just let me know. And Telder had told me he wanted to run a Black Horizon paint scheme for both the throwback race and the finale. And I was like, that's fine. Let me know which one you want. Any of them are available. And he's like, oh, I'll take this one. And then he messaged me back, and he has a screenshot. He goes, no, I want to run this one. And it was a one-off paint I made based off of the BMW M3 from Most Wanted, the 2005 Most Wanted Need for Speed. And I was like, I didn't even have the paint file anymore. So I actually had to, like, I still made it free for him, but I had to make that paint from scratch. And I think that was the most off the wall. Like, he found it in the Instagram story for season 2. Like, it's nowhere else. There's no other pictures of it.
Wow.
So that was the weirdest one. I'll tell you my favorite that was unique. And I know he's run it before, but seeing the actual pictures, Alan Best's Purple Haze paint is always great, and I love the story behind it. For those of you who saw the race and you didn't know the backstory, his father used to run a dragster in the 70s with this name Purple Haze on it, and it's funny, he posted pictures of it in the Discord, and it's just a shorter Alan Best. It's genuinely freaky. So yeah, there was a lot of great ones out there. Another favorite one of mine was Caden Atkins' throwback to William Calhoun and the big Bait Bites truck. I loved that.
Yes. I just popped in my head on that one. I mean, Fontaine's Gatorade truck was cool. Brewer's Caterpillar truck was cool. the Purple Haze you mentioned was good. Dylan Glass and his old Milwaukee throwback to Bobby Allison. That was awesome. Just saw that one. Let's see. Zach Allman threw back to himself, apparently. Let's see.
Travis Akavachi threw back to league former driver Lucas Josephson, which I loved that. Like, again, we're throwing back to guys who aren't even there anymore. But
right.
He had the National Parks paint that he really liked. There were so many good ones. So I was just curious if there was one that, like, really stuck out in your memory.
Nah.
But I love seeing people get into the spirit of it. And, so that was a random aside, but yeah, Zach absolutely showed up and got work done. A lot of guys showed pace and things kind of fell apart. And then there were some guys who just had bad luck, like Cody Beatty, Jason Dalton getting together under, like, what was it, like lap 12? Horrible luck.
Well, actually, the bad luck started before the race.
That is right. Yeah, no, Dylan Parker and Dane Cruz not having internet, and that is going to be they can do it, but man, that is going to be a hole to dig out of. That is going to be 1-2-ing both Indy and Road America with other people also not doing well. I mean, it can be done, but man, that is a tricky spot to be working out from.
Yeah, I mean, they're 52 points already out of fourth going into Road America, and pretty much within two races, you got to make up 26 points. Now, granted, the old school NASCAR point system that the league runs, that's only five spots plus some bonus points. So it doesn't sound like a lot when it's over with, but it is.
Yeah, I think Dylan is, if Dylan really believes he can get in, which I think he does, he's going to be someone to keep your eyes peeled on for being someone who's going to be willing to roll the dice a little harder than maybe some other guys out there on track, because he knows that if he wants to make it in, it's going to take more than just Blaine Sparling it to get into the final four. But the unfortunate Blaine Sparling did not have a Blaine Sparling race.
Nope. No, it finally bit him. I mean, he ran well for a little bit, but unfortunately, luck got him at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that was, unfortunately, to go double for that, that was an incident that was, I believe, started by our fellow teammate Christopher Dean. Got loose off of four, tried to correct it. Telder was coming in hot. They came together, and by that point, that front stretch is, it's a scary place to have that happen, because it's a bowling alley with bumpers. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're doing ding, 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 and then you're done. I was long retired by that point, but...
Which made you the only person on the team not involved in that wreck.
Yeah, really, because Travis got involved in that too. It was I will admit, I one thing I want to do later, maybe this will be a different show from like the awards show, but I want to do like a report card show and like break down teams who we feel, you know, performed their best or surprised or were, you know, maybe underwhelming. Because I actually really don't know what a grade you'd give to, and I'm just speaking to our team because I can speak to our team much easier. You know, I don't know what grade we would get, because on one hand, we have two wins. On the other hand, you know, we also have some guys having a hard time. So that's another show. That's another show. Is there anything else we really want to, I mean, like, we can go down the let me look at the point standings for our playoff drivers. I mean, Zach Allman, he's sitting at 188 playoff points. Caden Atkins, 178. I mean, he just had a solid race, did a great job. Then there's a big fallback from there, because they really were the only playoff guys that really pulled a super strong race. Sean Peachin, considering he went with the weird strategy to take tires early, still is sitting pretty good, 129 points in third. And then that fourth spot is Samuel Fontaine, 127. Clark Genigan, 115. Cody Beatty, 114. Jason Dalton, 100. Blaine Sparling, 97. Dylan Parker and Dane Cruz, both at 75 for their provisional points. So, I mean, things are looking pretty purdy for Zach and Caden. I don't remember either of them really being Mastero road racers. I think Caden was running, from what I can recollect, he ran okay-ish at Motegi until he got wrecked out. I thought he got wrecked out.
Actually, he got in the back of Alphen and sent him packing into turn one.
Okay, I was trying to think of like something happened to him, and then I remember at Canadian Tire, Caden was running decently, and then I believe him and Bondurant came together, and that was how I got past them, because I think I was running fifth or sixth at that point in the race,
right?
And then that was how I leapfrogged them, as they came together on that really scary downhill left turn.
Turn nine or 20. Right.
So they aren't, I'm not going to say they're not locked in, because I mean, they did what they needed to do, but there are guys sitting here that I think will be putting some serious pressure on them. I think Sean, I think Sam, I think Blaine, and especially I think Dylan Parker, who didn't have an amazing Twin Ring Grand Prix, but I know he has it in him, so I would not sleep on him one bit. And I think this is also going to be doubly interesting, because with how the holiday falls, we have 2 weeks of preparation for this road course. There is no reason that you can't, even if you didn't do a lick of prep before, that you couldn't have had the extra time to set aside to prepare because of how the holiday fell. So that is, I think we're going to see some pretty good side-by-side racing. It's not going to be as processional as past road races have maybe been.
No, I think it's going to be strategy. That competition caution, I think, is going to play games. Just from, you know, my future Road America races that I've been a part of or have seen, you're going to have your typical fast guys, but you're going to have your guys that make mistakes. You're going to have those ones that overshoot turn five. You're going to have those ones that overshoot the carousel or Canada corner and spin out. You're going to have those ones that unfortunately meet the tire barriers in corners or make contact. So there's a lot of wild cards on a track that sits 4 miles, or actually a grass blade north of 4 miles, track size wise, with 14 corners, with multiple elevations, with, you know, the longest straightaways that you're going to see in this series, that front straightaway, very long uphill, you know, and you got a turn one and three section. For some reason, there's a curve that's doesn't barely exist. That's turn two. Then you go down this long straightaway to turn five, and then, hey, let's proceed to turn left going downhill at 90 degrees. So there's so many different corners that, you know, and you got a kink on the middle of the back straightaway that can play havoc too. So there's so many different tricks and things that can happen on this track. You know, and with 65% fuel and 30 laps, you know, you're looking at likely a two-stop strategy to get to the rate, get to the win, considering you're already going to make one stop when that caution comes out.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, with the 65% fuel in testing, I've heard people discuss this and can confirm from my own short testing I've done. I really need to actually get to it on getting ready for this race.
Actually going to run laps while we talk.
You get loose real quick with that, how light the rear end is. I feel like you're really going to benefit from patient throttle application, because you light them up so quick and the truck wants to like really jump out. And I'll admit, it might feel nice early in the run when you've got the grip to kind of like, you know, kick that rear out and kind of like let it drive from the rear of the truck a little bit. But man, on a longer run, you're going to be hurting. You're going to be struggling. So right. There is a lot to this race. There's more than meets the eye. And I'm very excited to see how people approach it. Because I think with how the holiday falls, and we're going to have the Turkey Trot race, which, if you didn't know, we're going to have a lot of fun with. Because we need to hammer down the exact details. But I know that at least one way or another, I'm going to be broadcasting it, or at least helping broadcast it. So I'm very excited for that. Try something different. Try something fun. So,
yeah,
I don't know if it's, have we decided if it's, you and I, or just I, or me and a special guest?
I'm still working on getting somebody else. If not, it'll be you and I.
All right. Well, have fun. That's exactly all this race is going to be. I'm super excited to have some fun with this race. Now, just with how schedules fell again, we're not going to have a guest on this show, but we have your ears, and we thought, well, why not give you something a little bonus? And I'm sure we'll have another podcast to really hammer out our predictions and thoughts for Road America. But how do you guys feel about learning what the season 6 schedule is?
I'm pretty sure they're going to be pretty excited. And you said you guys, considering I'm the only one you're talking to.
All right. Well, great. I needed that, you know, confirmation. Here is what I will say as a preamble to how this all came together. Season 5, mainly, I would say, was pretty much crafted. I'm not going to say pretty much was like, sure, they had some input on like, okay, maybe do this, maybe do that. But again, I was largely left alone to come up with this schedule. And some people really enjoyed it. Some people really haven't. And they've let that be known. And I understand I am not a traditional fan of NASCAR, and I also am not a traditional just person in general with what I think is fun or different or unique. So it was discussed and has been recommended that we kind of take a step back and we do a more conservative, typical, real schedule. something that is, and again, I enjoy the fun of saying, well, why don't we push the boundary? Why don't we do something that's not done? Because we can, because we're simulating it. Some people enjoy that, some don't. So consider this for those of you who may have been disappointed or wished it would have gone differently or haven't liked some aspects of your favorite schedule missing. Your salvation has arrived, and this schedule is the one for you. So rejoice, you know, let there be much merriment in the street. Plate tracks are back, baby. The Dagadash will return. I have mixed feelings, but that's just me. I actually will admit that, like, I think me personally, I am excited because I think there is a beauty to the fact that the first race is kind of anyone's game, that you can show up and there's really no one that isn't off the table, and that's kind of the blessing and a curse of a plate race. But Talladega is back, and I think people are going to be happy, and then I think when we race it, there's going to be some people who are unhappy because plate race things are going to happen. But whatever, it is NASCAR to have a plate race, and I know some people were really disappointed that we didn't have one. But what are your thoughts on the return of the Dagadash?
No, I have no problem with it. I mean, it's congratulations to Chris Evans on the win, and otherwise, you know, I have no problem with it. It's going to be it's always going to be a fun race, and it's that wild card that I'm looking forward to. Good start.
Yeah, no, I think again, if we're going back more to tradition, I think this is a great place to start. So The next race will be a track we have run before, and I don't remember it being a bad race. I don't think I did well personally, but that's nothing new. Atlanta will return as the second race of the calendar, and I think now one thing we haven't confirmed, I just realized this, as far as I'm aware, we will be running what is now considered the old version of Atlanta, the current version, because I don't know if new Atlanta will be available by then, but I guess we'll keep you posted, because that literally just hit me right now as I was thinking of it. I mean, here's a question. Which one would you want us to run if it was available?
I would go modern, because, I mean, whatever, you know, basically, when you look at these legacy tracks, you know, obviously they don't really get updated as much anymore. They just get left alone. And with Atlanta, who knows what they're going to do? I mean, iRacing might decide, hey, let's do like we did Phoenix and just redo it, and bada bing, the track's gone. So you have no choice. So I would say the modern, just get out there, run it, and go for it. But no, it's a great second race. I remember last time we were there, I believe Dane Crews won. And no, I think that's a good start. You go from a 2.66 mile super speedway wild card to a tire managing 1.54 mile track that, hey, I just thought about this. The last time we were there, started a really big war that ended ugly.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see. Maybe that's why we'll have to run the new one. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We always have a fine balance of how many new tracks we introduce to a calendar versus how many repeat tracks we do, because we understand it's a big expense buying new tracks. So one of our returning tracks, which I think was a fun race and puts on great racing, will be Rockingham, another classic traditional. I mean, I know it's not on the current Cup schedule, but has a long history with NASCAR, and I think was a very fun race that we ran, and so we felt it definitely deserved a spot back on the list. So back to the Rock we go for the third race of the season.
Yeah, Rock, 1 mile track. Actually just saw a tweet recently that they're ripping out the turn one grandstands of that track, but a fun one, another track that's a very abrasive on tires, very bumpy. You know, I'm trying to remember some memories of those races here recently. Turn two is obviously very tricky, but you know, another fun track that I banked. that strategy and stuff's going to come into play. So yeah, that should be another fun track.
Speaking of high banked, there were some people on SEP that this next track wasn't on the list for last season. This season, you know what I'm trying to say, season 5.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to have this conversation again about lap traffic, but the Bristol paved version will be back on the calendar for season 6. I think, again, people let it be known that they said, hey, we want short tracks, we want plate races brought back. So we're doing it. I think we're trying to pick the best short tracks we can, because we've had some short track races that just haven't quite come together and not been amazing, but we're trying to pick the best ones. And I think Bristol is great with the high banks and the fun it brings.
No, I agree 100%. The one interesting thing that I catch, that I don't know if anyone else is going to catch until they hear my voice, is that it's 4 races now that you are south of the Mason-Dixon line with all 4 of those races. So Talladega, Atlanta, and then you go to Rockingham, and then Bristol. So keeping it down in the southeast, so a traditional, like you said, type of NASCAR feel to it. 4 different tracks. Yes, all of them high-banked, but 4 totally different styles of racing you're definitely going to, I think in those first 4 races, you're going to get the men separated from the boys real quick.
Yeah. I mean, like I said at the very beginning, we wanted this to be the balance of what this season was. Season 5, we wanted season 6 to kind of be its foil, so that people who didn't really, you know, jive with how things went down would have something that was much more to their, I don't want to say to their liking, but like to feel like it was, they're still being rewarded for being here and that they're not being punished. Because again,
I thought you were going to say first outside, inside last.
This is a track that's new, but people will be incredibly familiar with, and I think will be excited with. One thing that was decided in a poll, and this will be something that we'll kind of take the temperature on again once some time goes by, was people wanted to maintain 2 road courses, 1 in regular season, 1 in playoffs. So again, we said, you know, I'll admit, I tossed out a lot of fun ideas. I was like, let's go to Red Bull Ring, let's go to Chicago Street, let's do something wild. And people are like, Sam, slow your roll. We need to like balance this out. We need to chill this out. So that's what we're doing.
Are they hitting you with the KISS format?
Yeah, but I you know, keep it complicated, Sylvester. I don't know. I don't know where the hell
that's KICKS.
Yes,
that works.
anyways, you'll know this track. We've never done it, but I think everyone has been. This is a track that has been tossed out for a place to go. We're finally doing the Roval. And it's funny, and this is just my 2 cents, I feel like the Roval is more challenging than some of the tracks that we passed on. Because, I mean, it's got a street course feel with some tight walls and different, you know, in that infield area, there's some chances for some sketchy stuff to go down. But I think that this is going to be a great pick, because I know some people, they don't want to buy road courses where they're like, okay, I bought it once and never used it again. They own this track already. It has had some iconic NASCAR moments here, so I think it'll be fun to have our turn at it. So I can't pretend it's my favorite, but I also feel like I've only ever run it in like Miatas, so we'll see how I feel in a stock car.
I think, it's a track that I'm still getting used to. I mean, real life, it's put on some great races. I've run a few laps on iRacing, not much. But I can tell you right now, that section where you're heading down the infield back straightaway, as I like to call it, which is that little stretch that heads into the, almost like a carousel of its own, that heads, you're pretty much, you're turning right, but you're almost going uphill, kind of like you're running Barber Motorsports Park, if anybody's ever ran there before. And then you all of a sudden crest, and you're coming back downhill around a left-hander that's kind of blinding because of the way that hill is. That can be very tricky, because coming downhill in a truck, your back end can get very light. which then leads you back onto the NASCAR turn one section. And then of course, with the way the bus stop is over on the back straightaway. And then of course you got the chicane over at 13 and 14, I believe it is, on that track. I mean, it's a very complicated track, and it's one that puts a lot of technicality to use. So when I think of a track that is similar to that when it comes to a style, I mean, I think back to a couple of seasons ago when you guys ran Circuit de the Americas, because there was a lot of cornering, not a lot of straightaway other than the one that goes from 10 to 11. But there were a lot of cornering. You have to get into a rhythm and that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, I learned really quickly in a recent race I broadcasted that you're almost in one gear the whole entire infield.
Yeah, I think COTA is definitely a track that we should consider a revisit to, but I think it'll be fun to do Roval, and I actually am really excited to start doing some laps there, because I think this is going to be fun. And yeah, again, you nailed it though, where there's a lot of like we're staying with some traditional, you know, tracks south of the Mason-Dixon line. This is a very NASCAR schedule. Keeping going with that, we're gonna do Eldora again, and I think, you know, you have to pick and choose where you want to experiment on the calendar, and cool. I've enjoyed the other dirt races we've done a lot. But at the same time, we haven't had a bad Eldora. So it's kind of like this weird push-pull of, like, don't fix what isn't broken, but also why not try something new? I think Knoxville would have been fun, but when we had to choose between what new tracks we wanted and what old reliables we wanted to bring back, Eldora was one of them, and I think it's going to be just as crazy as it was the last time.
Yeah, Eldora, I will argue, was one of the best races in this league's history when we ran it a couple weeks ago. Now, I think we said, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, I threw a challenge out to you guys. I know I'm kind of part of the whole admin team. I more just kind of listen and throw feedback in when needed or whatever. But you know, I think the one thing I will challenge everyone on the admin side and even myself to think about an idea is again, how to present this to where all the drivers who show up, make it the race or not, have a way to still run their version of that race, if that makes sense. Where I talked about that bottom part of the field that doesn't make the main event still has a chance to run almost like a B main and be done and get points for how they did, 21st to 35th or whatever, so on and so forth. So that basically you got 20 people not getting one set of points from 21st, like last season. I think that's the only challenge that I think, just from hearing what I've talked to some of the drivers about, that has been brought up and I think I can agree with. Otherwise, I mean, Eldora is magical. I mean, the way it's been run, it's easily one of the best races on the schedule. And I could say right now, in these first six that you've done, that it can easily be the best race in those first six right there.
Yeah. I'm excited that we have it back. And I think, and again, one thing we've talked about also with the league, and now that we're getting a little more, history, is kind of picking out what tracks you want to have be new for, you know, to experiment, but also right. What legacy works. And I think Eldora is one that we, you know, could kind of start getting to the point of, okay, we've raced here a few times. This is working really well. Do we want to keep tinkering with something that we feel like is good? So maybe in time, the Dirt Derby will just be Eldora. But I mean, at least for now, that's not the case. But I guess we'll have to see how we feel a year from now.
Right.
Another old reliable we're bringing back. And I think that was our first north of the Mason-Dixon line track. Yep. Well, guess what? We're going back down. Another tremendous track. Another track with great racing that we picked and we're excited to run again is Homestead. I still think that is one of my... if we ever... And I hope we don't have to lose them. But if Black Horizon was not around, you know, we would consider, you know, maybe Chicagoland wouldn't remain as that final race. I still think it's a great, great race, and I want it to be there. But if it wasn't, I mean, maybe we would go back to doing Homestead again as that final race, because that was what season one's final race was at, and I thought it was a great race.
Yeah.
But and again, for some traditionalists, now granted, there's been other finale races, you know, but I'm glad we're going back to Homestead. I think it's a beautiful track. I think it's a unique track, and I think it puts on fantastic racing. So why not bring it back?
No, I agree. Homestead is awesome. It's had some great races here the last couple seasons. It's actually starting to become more of a traditional track for the series, but you know, another worn out bank track, 18 to 20 degrees, multiple grooves. Trying to think back to who won this race recently. Was it Caden?
It was Dean. Dean was the last winner of Homestead.
That's right. And you know, it was a fantastic race there. And I think it's in a good place on the schedule, because when you look at it right now, you've got a 2.66 mile super speedway. You've got the 1. Whatever in the end it decides to be mile quad oval. You've got, and I say that because if it's the new Atlanta, you end up with it. Otherwise, you got the 1.54 miles track. Then you go to Rockingham, 1 mile. Then you go to a half mile at Bristol. Then you go to the Roval, and then you go to a dirt track. So basically, you're now looking at almost a 5-week separation between 2.5 mile tracks. Yeah, they're similar with the worn out bankings and stuff, but I mean, you're separating out 2.5 mile tracks and keeping that whole. Oh, great. Another cookie cutter track, which I think is the dumbest thing in the world, because every track is different in its own way. And Homestead is one, for example, that, you know, puts on its own type of racing.
Absolutely. I think the schedule has been very well curated and developed to be a balanced variable schedule. So we're going to keep moving forward. And this is one that, again, I've not run it yet. I should have when it was out to try it, but we're going to run the new Phoenix, and I think that'll be fun. Again, I like these weird-shaped, unique tracks. I think they're fun, and you know, now that it's the championship race of the Cup Series, it definitely feels like an important track to have around. So new Phoenix will also be included right after Homestead. So a lot of Southern races. I'm looking at this schedule, and we very rarely go above that Mason-Dixon line in the regular season.
Right. Well, and here's the thing that I will argue. I like Phoenix, but when it comes to a championship track, that's where I'm going to argue back against the schedule and stuff like that. And that's not on you guys. I'm talking about on just in general. There's a fantastic podcast out there called Door Bumper Clear. That's three spotters, and it's all part of Junior's Dirty Mo Media. And they talked about how Phoenix, yes, they do a great job building up the race and the setting of the track and stuff like that. Everything's great, but it does not race like a championship track. So I think where you guys have it right here at race number 8, I think it is, if I did the count right.
Race 8.
That, you know, I think is going to be a crucial point when it comes to who makes that 10th. I mean, because this is the race, when you look at this season, is the Lucas Oil Raceway race. So I think that it comes into a crucial spot on the schedule that I think really says, all right, you're in or you're out. And I think you're going to see some great racing here. I think that, you know, depending on when the races ran and how the schedule is, or when it comes to when, like timing wise, the races ran, if it's a night race or a day race or whatever, I think that could play a role. I think that's a good spot for that race. I think it's good to see that Phoenix is on there.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it out. Now this next one, I think we implemented this 2 seasons ago, where, you know, we had built out the idea more of the team aspect and trying to help put some authority and responsibilities and fun into the guys who help run the teams. And one of those ideas was what we, you know, was the captain's vote, where we get all the different team captains together and say, hey, nominate a track you want. They all nominate a track. Then they all vote on those tracks, and we pick the track that is picked is the one that has the most points out of that. And this track in particular came up second last season. Lost out to Nashville Super Speedway, which I'm sad we're not going back to. I hope we revisit it for season 7 or 8. I think it was unfortunate what happened at Nashville Super Speedway, but I don't think it's a bad track. We're going to Dover, and it's going to be our first time at the Monster Mile.
Man, the wild cards keep hitting here. Dover sitting at track number 9. On the schedule, 1 mile concrete canyons, 24 degrees banks, 9 degrees in the straightaways, which, you know, when you look at it logically, are just trying to think off the top of my head some tracks that like the Milwaukee Mile corners. That's going to be an interesting race because pit strategy is going to come into play. You know, obviously a lot of speed in that track, a lot of handling. And you're looking at two short track type style races to go into the final race, which I already have a guess where that's at. Going into the into the 10th race of the schedule, that's going to be a very crucial stretch there because you're looking at now going back to the third race of the schedule. You have a 1 mile oval, you have a half mile short track, you have a roval. You have a half-mile dirt track. You have a 1.5-mile worn-out bank. You have a 1-mile flat track. I just had it in my head. Another 1 mile, but high bank track. And my guess is this next track would be the 2-mile Michigan Speedway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know we've talked a lot about legacy and history and building traditions, and I think one of those things that is just always going to be in that spot and you should always come to expect it to be there in this league is the Prehistoric Forest 200 at Michigan being that 10th race. It is important to this league and to its founders that it's there, and we do not have exact details for this, so I'm going to keep it loose. One thing we're hoping, we have a lot of big changes. They're subtle changes with big impact, I'll put it that way, with enforcement of rules, formalities, and how we process things. But one fun change we want to work on is it came up with the idea of, again, building a fun legacy and importance to tracks. We will be working on a concept of the GALSR Triple Crown, and this will be one of the first jewels of the Triple Crown, and basically you win these three races and something fun and special will head to you. So even if you're someone who's outside of the playoff picture and you win Michigan, then you're like, well, I'm actually in a really good spot for the Triple Crown if I could get these two other wins and practice real hard for them. Again, this is early stages. More will be coming in time. But just to show that we're always trying to think outside the box and bring you guys something fun. So we all know Michigan. We don't have to rag on about it. But this is where things get interesting. Because as everyone knows, we always talk about the, we have to have, you know, this is the Great Lakes Sim Racing League. It was founded off of these ideas, and we're going to stick with these ideas. So playoff races can only be Great Lake races. We had a challenging IRP, and we wanted a short track in the playoffs. And we were trying to think of what track we should be putting there and what's a track worthy of that spot, even if it was outside of the Great Lakes. And so I'm pretty sure this is going to be the throwback race. And I missed this race, but I've been assured it was a good race. The first playoff race will be at North Wilkesboro. And, you know, I'm a little nervous because, you know, short tracks. But I think if we keep reminding people to keep their heads screwed on straight, and race hard but fair, then we should totally have the quality and capabilities of running a short track like this. So, yeah, I am excited to have something different and something fun, new in the playoffs, because I know a lot of people sometimes feel like it's a hard balance. Some people want nice repetition so that there's a consistent schedule and a tradition. Others want something new and fresh because we have a short season. So balancing that out, North Wilkesboro is a good way to kick it off.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. I think it's a fantastic track. I think iRacing has done a great job with it, almost doing things as a track that I don't think are possible to do when it comes to real life. I mean, I cannot remember a North Wilkesboro race where cars were from the bottom of the track all the way up against the wall running into grooves. So I think that could potentially be one of the better races of the season at the same time as it could be one of the worst, unfortunately. But I think that the respect that this track has and the drivers have, I really could see this being more of the first and being a fantastic race. And knowing what's on the line, too, I think there would be a lot of pressure on those drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, you ask, we deliver. At the end of the day, if we don't have guys who want to race here, then it really doesn't matter what we choose to run. And one thing people wanted was more short tracks. So we're trying to pick the best of the best, and that's why we're straying a little outside of the norm of, you know, trying to pick Great Lakes racetracks. But I still believe that we have the talent and capability to put on great racing there. So I mentioned earlier that we're going to be running for the foreseeable future. We'll see if things change. Two road courses, just guaranteed. We won't alternate. And we, again, trying to keep with traditional tracks, Great Lake tracks. It's pretty hard to not have this on the schedule. It's not my favorite, but it's the favorite of many. It's Watkins Glen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2.45 mile, seven turn road course, and yep, tradition. You know, obviously with the bus stop and of course the carousel of its own. You know, with the competition caution coming into play, it can easily be a fantastic race, and I think it's in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, there is too much more to say beyond that. I think it's where it needs to be, and I think it'll be fun. And then, you know, to wrap this up real quick, I mean, you know the rest of the schedule, and I think the only thing I'd like to really elaborate more on is I think Indianapolis has put on some of the most dynamic racing of the season, and Indianapolis will be the second of the three jewels of the GSLR Triple Crown, concluded by Chicagoland being the third. So I'm privileged and excited to see how this is going to go and develop. And I think a lot of people are going to be happy with this schedule. I even heard one gentleman, I'll leave his name out, say, man, I actually wish I was racing this schedule now because this looks great. So
that was not me, by the way.
That was not Chris. But again, we're aiming to keep people happy and trying to have a fun time here.
No, I think, those are the perfect traditional tracks that are on the schedule. Of course, the Chicago race, I assume, will still be the same 250 miles that it always is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's the perfect home. And I think even without the sponsor, I think it's the perfect home for this series because it has its own characteristics, its own racing. I think it's just a great track. It's got the lights, of course, for the nighttime, and it has all the drama. It has all the tradition to it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to do that schedule, but I'm also excited to conclude this schedule. So, well, and this is not code. This is genuine. I do believe my dog needs to go to the bathroom. So, everyone. Super excited to keep going forward with all of you guys, and I think we have a great calendar ahead for you. I'm super excited that I'm going to be joining the for this one race, the booth, and we're going to have a really great, fun Turkey Trot race at iRacing Super Speedway with some heat races, qualifiers to set the grid. I love these fun races, so I can't wait to do my part in bringing the fun to you. It will be broadcast on the Captain Esports Network.
Now, let me correct something real quickly. When we say that he's with me, Sam's running the show. I'm just sitting back and kind of producing and going to be being like the Dale Jr. a little bit here and there in the race. Sammy here's calling. It's almost like a drivers only type broadcast is what it's going to turn into. And I'm going to have Sam ready to go.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to have fun. And I hope as many of you guys that are able to, if you're not traveling and you've got the time, come join us and let's have a great race. So other than that, just remember, we are here for the GLS.